Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program of News Talk 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life that defines our region. This morning, our guest is Ryan Spring from the Bedford Gazette. And Ryan, this is truly a pleasure and an honor to have you here today. I don't think we've ever had the managing editor of the paper on the radio show, and I really appreciate you doing it today. So thank you very much for coming.
Well, thank you, Lloyd. I appreciate it.
I've been wanting to talk to Ryan for a long time. He's kind of the new old Ryan. He used to be the old Ryan when you were the sports director of the paper at one time.
Sports editor, yes.
And then you came back and became the managing editor.
Yeah, I went away and did some other things, and then Joe Deagle, our publisher, asked me to come back and wasn't quite sure about being on the news side of things because there's a big difference between covering sports and news, and I'm still kind of getting the ins and outs of that a little bit with local government and things, but it's something that I really enjoy.
So tell me about Ryan. I understand you're from Jersey.
Yeah, Western New Jersey, a little town called Phillipsburg, if everybody knows around, if you know the Lehigh Valley, Allentown, Bethlehem East, in that area, just on the other side of the river, was where I grew up, and I was there for quite some time until I moved out here.
People forget that in the eastern part of the state, New Jersey and Pennsylvania are sometimes only a mile apart. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, the river's wider, and I think it's even narrower up where you were. So that is not much separates between Jersey people and the Pennsylvania people. So where did you go to school?
I went to Connecticut School of Broadcast. I actually wanted to do some radio. Other than that, just have a little community college background and stuff. Really kind of built myself up. I wasn't big books and test-taking type of person, so I just kind of worked myself that way, and the radio thing wasn't working out, so I found myself at a local newspaper there and was doing everything from obituaries to entertainment listings, and then they had an opening in their sports department, which is how I got into sports. I've always been a big sports fan, huge high school sports fan. I followed all my high school teams. I played a few sports. That's where I got started in sports and was there for about a year, and then I saw this out here in Bedford County, and I had some family in Pittsburgh. My grandmother grew up in Pittsburgh, and I had some other family there. So I knew where Bedford County kind of was out here on the turnpike and stuff. So I'd been through here a little bit and thought, well, you know what? If I'm going to take a chance, I was 28 years old at the time. I'm like, may as well do it now. You know, it's the first time I really moved away from home, you know, but now I'm, you know, married with a son. You know, I've definitely grown up here and grown up in Bedford County, and I love it.
Well, that's great. It's a great story. It's not unlike mine. I got here by accident. I was looking for something else, and we found Bedford County, so it's a lot of fun to be here. Our guest today is Ryan Spring, who's the managing editor of the Bedford Gazette. This paper, to me, is extraordinary. I mean, we have papers in major markets crashing and burning right and left. We just lost the Pittsburgh Gazette. The Washington Post is under a lot of strain. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia Inquirer has become almost a newsletter. The Evening Bulletin there is gone. The Harrisburg Patriot in Harrisburg is gone. So how does the Gazette do it? You still operate a serious local newspaper. I'm just astounded how you do it. How do you do it?
I think around here, there's just still an appetite for people to have a print newspaper, just have a paper. It's how I grew up, with a newspaper in my hands. My parents got the newspaper, even though I didn't grow up here. Where I did and where I ended up working for before I came here was the newspaper I grew up reading. And I think people just, you hear about it. People still like to see that. They still like to see a picture on a print edition of a newspaper or something like that. And the other aspect of it is we still continue to be with our roots, you know, which I think is local coverage, whether it's local news, local sports, the entertainment listings, the people doing good things in the community, as well as the hard news stuff like county commissioners and local government and all those other things too. I think those are the two main aspects that, you know, keep us going. I mean, it's amazing. We've been going for 221 years now.
All right, that is a great story. You know, there's a paper in the eastern part of the state in Delaware County. I don't think, quite frankly, it's as good as this one, but they are called the Daily Times. And the Daily Times got so concentrated on local sports that all the local sports began on the back page. So the joke around Delaware County was they called it the Torah because it was read from the back. Because all of the pictures of the kids reaching for basketballs and things. And without that sports section, I don't think that paper would be around today. It is that important because of the local sports coverage. So that's an interesting thing that ties the community together, isn't it? Everybody know somebody who has a child in some sort of sports program.
Right, and that's what I noticed when I was in sports before at this paper, when I first came here and then was a sports editor for over 7 years. Yeah, I mean, that's what people's appetite really is, you know. Like you said, it's a connection, you know, whether, no matter what, you know, differences you might have on what's going on with the school board or what's going on in the community, sports really does tie it together. And we've always had a great sports section, and I was a big part of that for a long time, and I'm proud of the work I did with that.
I mean, even the radio station has a deep commitment to that. We do local wrestling, we do basketball, we have football, and of course the pro sports. But I personally am not a sports fan, so sometimes I don't get it. But I do understand the impact of it for the listener and the reader. Writer, you're a damn good writer. You are. I've read your stuff, and considering you've not had any formal education, you've really done very, very well. This is not easy to come up with a story every day, is it?
No. And like I said, you know, I wanted to be, you know, sitting like you doing radio. Didn't want to, you know. And people always said I had a good voice for radio. My parents always told me that, so it's like that's where I went. And then getting into newspapers now, yeah, I felt like I really developed a good craft. I mean, I guess I just have a way with words sometimes. That, you know, I really work hard on my the introduction, the lead of my story, because that's what kept people. That's where you have to grab people, the headline and the lead. And I try to be involved with that as much as I can to make sure I grab people to a story.
Radio people generally are morons. We don't have to know how to spell. We don't have to write, because someone asked me the other day, did you get the spelling of my name right? I said, it doesn't matter. We don't care what is how it's spoken. Just tell me what it sounds like and we're okay. Again, our guest is Ryan Spring, the managing editor of the Bedford Gazette. In today's media world, we are all suffering from the same thing, the digital revolution. And I think, even in radio situation, we should have gotten ahead of this a long time ago. We let it come up behind us, because digital is nothing more than another delivery platform. I mean, the writers still have to know how to write. The speakers still have to speak. Even podcasts or sometimes a radio show in disguise. In fact, I did one of these interviews the other day with someone, and I said, we'll get this to you shortly. I'll give you the day it's going to be broadcast. And he said, well, I really appreciate your having you on my podcast. And I said, nah, it's not a podcast. It's a radio. But that showed me, you know, what is going on there. So I've noticed the paper, this paper here, the Gazette, has started to integrate itself into the digital world. You are available online. And one of the things I really like about the paper is I don't have to look at some code. I'm looking at a real paper. You actually have a picture of the paper online. So was that intentional to do
yes.
it that way?
Yeah, you can actually access all the pages online, right. And which is, again, you know, for people that don't want to get the print edition or whatever, it's great. And if you do subscribe to the print edition, the online edition is available free with your subscription. So, you know, you can kind of get it two in one. Like if you're busy looking at your phone or whatever, you can still look at the pages, and you can, like I talked about, you know, people still like to see the print copy or the photo. You can find that, you know, it's not just the story necessarily on a page, it's the actual page.
Well, when you put my picture on the front page, I sent the my kids so they could see it, and I thought it was kind of fun that they would be able to actually look at a paper and say, "Gee, you know, who's that weird guy on the front page?" And it was just it's really good. So that's one of the ways. The other way is the digital transition to sales. Is the paper involved in any of that? Are they selling
yes.
advertising on the links, and how's that working?
As far as I know, it's working good. I mean, I'm not directly involved with the advertising end of it, but as far as I know, and that's what keeps our print edition going too. We're making sales on the digital end. It's helping it in the whole paper as a whole. So.
There's not a day that goes by I don't read a radio trade about the radio business, and they say Odyssey Company or the company has exceeded sales on the digital side over the radio, and I just hope they don't get so infatuated with this that they forget what they actually own radio stations.
Right.
Okay, let me flip to here to something else. Newspapers today are under attack mostly because they're losing on the revenue side. You know, you don't see big ads for car dealers anymore. You don't see department stores anymore. Even in the big cities, you don't see them.
Right.
And that used to be their mainstay. And I remember reading some years ago that the biggest hit they took were on classified, because people like, I guess, Facebook and others, some of those sites, those kind of platforms were eating it up. So if you don't have classifieds and you don't have display advertising, you do have to turn to other things like the digital platforms where you can get some money. But you guys seem to have done okay. Tell me about your parent company, Sample, is that what it's called?
Sample News Group,
How many newspapers do they have, do you know?
I don't know directly off the top of my head, but mostly small communities, like Pennsylvania, we have the Huntington Daily News, Latrobe Bulletin, Indiana Gazette, obviously Bedford Gazette, Connellsville, and then we have other publications, like we publish the Shopper's Guide every weekend. Some of the things have some of the other, have like a weekend edition or something. We're in a few other states in the Northeast. I think we have a paper in Cape May, New Jersey. I believe we have one in Vermont. So, you know, we have, you know, a nice collection of newspapers, and we're proud to be part of them.
Ever been to Cape May?
No, I have not. You, I grew up in New Jersey. That was still 3 hours from here.
You got to go to Cape May. That's the best place in the Jersey Shore.
As far south as I was, Atlantic Stamford.
No. Now, Cape May is a little bit like, it's like the Bedford of New Jersey. There's no high rises, no casinos. It's just like old people like it because it's quiet, but it's just absolutely, it's beautiful. It's right there at the Delaware Bay and the Atlantic Ocean. You got to go. This isn't a show about Cape May, but I love Cape May. I think it's great. So I'm glad you have a paper there. Newspaper business as a place to get news is being challenged by online platforms like the Fox News and all of the others. Do you have to compete with that, or you just stick to your knitting with the local news?
We stick to our knitting, really. Local news is what we're about. And again, like I said before, that's what keeps us going. And if we don't stick to local news, we're not going to win in the long run. When people around here, they're going to want you to, you can get your national news on Fox or CNN or the Washington Post or New York Times or whatever your choice is, depending on your preference. But if you want local news in a local community in Bedford County, you got to read the Bedford Gazette because we're the only option.
I just got over my senior moment. What I was trying to remember was Angie's List, which is a platform that replaces the classifieds in the paper. So we're going to talk more about that. And Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Doug Gaiman of the Bedford County Land Preservation Board, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk FM 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Bedford County Speaks.
We are back. My name is Lloyd Roach, and this is Bedford County Speaks, and our guest today is Ryan Spring from the Bedford Gazette newspaper. I heard you talk about sports. I'd like to talk a little bit about the local stories you do. You have a couple of wonderful features. I first fell in love with Tina Walker-Lay when she arrived here because I didn't know that she had a newspaper experience, and one of the reasons that I became so fond of her is that she complimented on this show. We had started it, and I think it was 2015, and when it got killed by COVID, I was only here just a few years with this, and she actually found me one day, and she said, "I really like your radio show," and then I learned that she had worked in newspapers. I didn't know that, but she has done some fantastic stuff for you, digging into the lives of people. Yeah. How did you find her?
Honestly, she started here in 2016 and was here for 3 or 4 or 5 years, something like that. I wasn't on the news side, so I didn't know her too well. And then she just came back last year. We had an opening. We had some things changing in her news department, and our publisher talked to her, and she was willing to come back. And I'm happy with her. I'm thrilled. She's done a great job. Like you said, her feature stories are excellent. She really digs in. She just had a great feature this week on the Blackburn funeral that celebrated 150 years last year. Tremendous.
I'm a member of the Fort Bedford Honor Guard. We go in there all the time. And any idea that place was still a very small place, you do the whole thing inside of a living room. But the fact that it's been there, that was a great story about that.
Tina's done a great job. We're happy to have her.
Yeah. And another one is Sarah Brumbaugh. She does this thing on the weekends. So tell me about the particular feature. What is that?
Well, my understanding is the personality. We used to be a regular for the Shopper's Guide years ago. The Shopper's Guide, I believe we're celebrating our 52nd year of that publication this year. And back in the old days, I think there was a feature called Personality of the Week. And a couple years ago, we were toying around with the idea of bringing it back. So we decided to start last January. It's been a little over a year now. Actually, this week's feature, she doesn't have a feature on a person. She actually wrote about the first year of doing Personality of the Week. So I hope readers will enjoy that tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Out. But yeah, I mean, again, she's done a good job, really good featured writer, strong way with words and interviewing people. So she's done really, really well with that too. That's one of her staples right now at the Gazette. So.
We're in my favorite recording studio. I was in here one day. We're in Hebrews, and I was in the Hebrews one day, and there was Sarah on the other table interviewing somebody. So maybe it's your favorite recording studio too. These stories and these features are really what cement the whole localism of this paper, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What's been your favorite story since you've been here?
That I've written?
Yeah.
Or
but just stories that you've just...
I've written some good features, actually. One of my favorite ones I wrote, I actually won an award for, which is in no way, you know, I'm trying to promote myself, but Wayne Hyde...
Hey, that's what we're here for.
Wayne Hyde, a noted sculptor around here,
right.
Did a, monument over there in Everett, the honor monument with the two war heroes. They were in separate conflicts, but they're featured together. It's a great monument. I'm sure everybody's seen it down in front of the Masonic Temple there. I actually won an award from the Pennsylvania News Media Association for that story. It was direct coverage of the event when they dedicated the monument, and Wayne was there and a bunch of speakers. It was great. And so I'm really proud of that story. I mean, I'm not military myself. My dad served, my grandfather served, so I know a lot about military. Great respect for, thank you for your service, too. So writing stories like that is really kind of touches my heart. So I'm really proud of that one. That was one of my favorite things.
Are there any others that you've done or have the papers done that you've been particularly fond of?
Oh, quite a few over the years. I mean, when I was doing sports, I used to cover wrestling really hardcore and had a lot of great, feedback on those stories. And, so I'd like to write the features, but at the same time, I know how important coverage of the local government and those aspects are too. People care about those things, and we need to know if taxes are going up or if there's changes or they're doing this or that. So,
my favorite government stories are when we walk into a courthouse and we find there's no story there, and all of a sudden there is a story.
Yeah,
this happened just a few weeks ago, and or when someone's being reelected or wants to be reelected, you'll find that they get stories out of that because they're promoting some issue that they want to find dear,
right.
And of course the opposition doesn't like it, so that makes it exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is so special about sports reporting? Why is that different for you? You maybe understand that it's quite different writing for a sporting event versus, say, a public interest story. What's different about it?
I think it's just, like we talked about before, it just brings people together. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, in sports, you're writing about positive things, even though you're writing about wins and losses, maybe straight. You're writing a lot about positive things, whether a kid scores a lot of points in a basketball game, or a kid gets a big win, or it's a district championship game. There's so many. I feel like it can be more positive at times than the hard news. But the hard news still gives you a lot of importance.
What interests me when I see things in the paper about sports is you see these close-up shots mm-hmm. of a young man grabbing another one, say, in a wrestling match. And I don't know how you take a picture like that. I mean, that to me, you catch a second of something. What do? Take lots and lots of pictures and
yes.
help ones make it work?
Yeah.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I know when I was in sports, we always, because, that's the other thing, being at the Gazette, was, we don't have our own photographers. We take our own photos for
mm-hmm.
the most part.
Right.
We might have a couple stringers here that are willing to help us out, or a parent. Or something, but for the most part, we're taking our own photos. So yeah, an event like that, we take hundreds of photos. I know our sports editor now, she takes a ton of photos, and I know I always did too, that right one.
Papers must be saving a fortune now that we don't have film anymore.
Yeah, back in the old days.
Honestly.
I heard about the dark room and everything like that, but when I came in, I was well past that point. So, I came right into the digital world, I guess, of cameras.
Right.
So.
Okay, so I'm home. I have my Bedford Gazette. And I know that a big challenge today is delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Delivery is becoming a real issue, not just with your paper, but any paper. And they're trying to find new ways to get delivered. Now, right now, it seems to me that most of the papers at Bedford Gazette are being delivered by mail. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
So, and you can buy it still in the newsstand, but still they have this. I see them in the
right.
in the supermarkets and
yeah.
so forth.
Yep.
Is that going to continually be an issue? Is it because you can't find people to deliver the papers? Is that what it is?
I think so. I think maybe people don't want to work those certain. It's early morning. I don't know if people want to work those certain hours. But unfortunately, that's one of the drawbacks we're facing right now. And like you said, I know it is a wider problem. It's not just limited to Bedford.
So it's not. So what happened to the the young man on a bicycle delivering a paper. Is that something that Norman Rockwell took and that's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it'd be great if those days came back. Like, yeah. I mean, I have a young son. I'd like to get him into delivering newspapers, but, yeah. You know, maybe someday, but...
Well, they're all so time-starved. I think every young person today is at 40,000 things going on at once.
Right.
And the parent says, why don't you go deliver newspapers? Well, they'll get interfered with this, and this. Yeah. Ryan Spring is our guest here from the Bedford Gazette. And we're talking about newspapers today and past. And do you think these papers have a future? Do you think you're going to be here maybe 10, 15 years from now?
No, I hope more than 10 or 15. I got to retire, so you know, I'll be here a little longer than 10 or 15, hopefully. But yeah, I think so.
Well, I didn't mean that's a negative question, but I mean, right. I mean, you're involved in this industry. So what is the industry saying that they're going to do to make these papers still as relevant as they are?
I think they're starting to come back overall as a whole. You know, I know you're seeing some negative headlines, like in Pittsburgh with Post Gazette and Washington Post. There's a lot of mixed feelings about the way people feel about stories. People think you're so far on one side or the other side, and that's where you kind of have to balance that. But I think overall as a whole, I just refuse to believe that newspapers are going to go away. I don't believe that. I think they're going to, you know, everybody has challenges no matter what you do, where you're at in the business world. There's always going to be challenges, but I think newspapers come out okay. I think we're going to be here for a while.
I equate it to AM radio. People say, well, AM radio is done. That's it. No more AM radio. Do you know that there's a bill before Congress right now guaranteed they put AM radios in cars? You know why they're doing this? They're doing this because it's still the primary source of emergency awareness for people.
Yeah, and that's important.
No one in the Congress wanted to get rid of this, thought of that, until the National Association of Broadcasters brought it up and said, well, when the big one comes, when your flood comes in your town, the only thing that's going to be on the air are these AM radio stations, not your internet. The cell phones died 2 weeks ago, and these AM radio stations are very, very important. Right. Learned this a hard way when they had those terrible floods in the South. Mm-hmm. A couple of stations that were locally owned down in South Carolina stayed on the air throughout all of that, and they were literally the only way they could find out what was going on because the cell phones had gotten washed away. The internet was gone because all the telephone lines were down. And it was just a very old but basic technology. And everybody on the planet has some form of AM radio, either in their house or their car. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they want to go out and buy another piece of gear.
Right.
So I think newspapers are the same thing. You've got a newspaper out there that publishes a story every day. It's physical. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you can keep a good public record of it.
Right.
Do people still understand the value of having a piece of paper in their hand for posterity?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope people still see that as a value. I know I do.
The Bedford Gazette is 220 years old, you said?
221.
221
this year. Yeah.
So that's got to make it one of the oldest papers in the country, I would think.
Yeah, one time I know we were hovering around the top 20. I haven't really looked into an updated list as of now, but I know it's on our front that, you know, we are published continuously since 1805, one of America's oldest newspapers. So.
Because the Philadelphia Inquirer has it beat by just a few years. I think it was like 1770 or something when they were. Of course, there's been a zillion newspapers that circle through that city since then.
Well, and think about it when we started. Thomas Jefferson, President of the United States, the third president. We've been around since then. So that's. That gives you some perspective.
That's a good way to, it is a good way.
You know, you look at the history, you know, all the wars or the conflicts or, you know, just anything, you know, we've stood the test of time, really, for almost as long as the country, because the country's celebrating 250 this year.
I guess the county's 1771, so they were only around for just 30 years or so, probably, the paper, Did you know if they had a paper before that, or was this it?
I do not know.
Yeah, just curious. We're talking to Ryan Spring from the Bedford Gazette, and one of the other things I wanted to ask you was that the paper operates on multiple levels: delivery, sales, editorial, sports. What other departments am I missing? Is that it?
We have some people that do, you know, handle the back and do the inserting, like the flyers and stuff, which there aren't as many as there used to be in days past, but we still have a pretty good staff back there.
Do you have any idea how many people are in the building itself?
On a daily basis, it's probably somewhere between 15 and 30.
Oh, okay.
We're not always all there at the same time. Yeah. We're out chasing a story, you know, but sports comes in later, you know, but there's a good amount of people.
So there's still deadlines in newspapers?
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things that has changed since COVID. We used to print 6 days a week. Now we only print 5 days a week. We never had a Sunday paper. We also don't have a Monday print edition.
Right.
Sunday and Monday are online. We only print Tuesday through Saturday. But coupled with that, we have we don't have a press now. We used to print on site. Our deadlines.
So the paper trucks aren't going in there anymore.
No.
No, okay, gotcha.
No. Our deadlines, when I was in sports, our deadlines, like a Friday night football, would be like midnight,
Right.
And we'd be done. I mean, we wouldn't walk out of the building until 1:30, 2 in the morning sometimes on a Friday night. Now that's gone away. Our deadlines are like 9 o'clock at night. And most of the time, we're done, sometime between 8 and 9 o'clock hour, because we have to print off site. So we have to actually upload our pages to a website that they print in Huntington, and they're able to grab the pages right off that website and print them.
The makeup is still done in Bedford, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So the paper, as we see it, leaves Bedford electronically and goes to Huntington.
Yes. Yeah. As well as writing stories and doing some of the things I really like to do, I also lay out the paper, 3 nights a week, and then I have somebody else that does a couple nights too. So
is there anything you don't do? Are you involved in maintenance and cleaning too?
No, well, I don't sell ads, and I don't clean the building, I guess. So other than that, I'm pretty much hands on in like everything. At least know about a lot of things.
Right.
So.
Have you enjoyed meeting some of the public officials in your job? I bet you get to see everyone this way.
I have. Like I said, coming into this, going from sports, which I really was a passion of mine growing up, to now doing this wasn't something I always saw myself in, but I do. I do like talking to the people in the business world. I knew a lot of names around here, but I didn't know who they were or what they did. And I've really gained a lot of respect and admiration for what they do, because there's so much that goes into their jobs. I'm still kind of getting the lay of the land, maybe certain lines of questioning people and some. I'm not as robust in asking a county commissioner great questions as I was probably an 18-year-old kid after a basketball game. But, so I'm still getting adjusted to that. But I really do enjoy meeting everybody in the community and really – everybody, for the most part, people are willing to talk to us.
Right.
And that's what makes it easy, too. We have a lot of great people that are willing to give you a good quote, or at least, tell you a story. So.
Yeah, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got on doing this, and I've never done this professionally, by the way. I've always been involved in something else, in radio, sales, management, engineering, and things like that. So this thing here is new to me. I've been doing this a lot less time than you have. But I remember I went to a convention in Chicago. And we listened to Paul Harvey, who used to be on the ABC radio network. He had two shows every day, one at 8:30, one at noon. And he got up and he admonished all the news people in the room, the radio and TV, news people, mostly radio. And he said, "Look, you guys, when a national figure comes to your town, ask them local questions." And I thought, what a great idea. Mm-hmm. So when the governor came here, and I know you've seen him several times,
yes,
the lieutenant governor, but I went to one of these things with the governor. I asked him a local question. And you know what? They don't know what to do with it. I love it. you say, "Well, this is all very interesting, but tell me when the construction is going to be completed on 220 near the diner." Yeah,
right.
Because that's what the local people want to know.
Right, exactly. And that goes back to local newspapers. If you want local content, you want to ask. Yeah, you're going to want to ask Governor Shapiro a question about Bedford County.
So that was a good piece of advice. And I thought, when Vance came to town, the Vice President of the United States, I wanted to do that, but I couldn't get close enough to ask him anything.
But. Yeah, well, I wasn't there, but I heard that was.
Wild. That was. That was really.
We had a reporter there. But
yeah, no, that was excellent. That was really a lot of fun. Yes, we are out of time. Great to talk to you, Ryan. I really appreciate your coming over. And we'll give a little plug to Hebrews here. Hebrews is kind of my secondary studio here. We use that back room here at Hebrews. So if you want to get some very good coffee and cocoa and all that latte stuff they have here, come to Hebrews. But they've been very kind to let us use the back room here. You've been a treat, and thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Lloyd. I appreciate it.
Did we miss anything?
I hope not.
Okay, good. We want to thank Ryan Spring, Managing Editor of the Bedford Gazette. This morning's program is brought to you as the public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 AM. If you'd like to hear the program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.